Back in 1965, I had a dream, and I believe that God speaks to people sometimes through dreams. The Bible says that. It gives examples, and it gives teaching that that is one of the ways God speaks. And although that was 1965, I've never forgotten that dream. The point is that at that time, I had something in my heart that I was as sure of as I've ever been as sure of anything in my walk with God. And that was that God was calling me to the ministry. Now, there was one big obstacle to my saying yes to the call of God. I won't tell you what it was, but it was there. And my heart desired nothing other than to go into the ministry in my walk and service with God. But there was this one big thing, and I didn't feel able to say yes to the Lord. And I was working at that time as a postman, and I was living in a small garret room at the top of a tenement. Didn't have a window, just had a skylight, which was covered with snow, so not much light came through it. And in my dream, there were people down in the street walking past the building. And this is what they were singing. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. That's the first verse in the chorus of hymn 746 in the Methodist hymn book. And the odd thing in that dream was that as the people passed the building and were going further along the road, their singing, strangely, was not getting any fainter. They were still singing, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. But in my heart, I knew that the time would have to come, and surely would come, when I would stop hearing that request, draw me nearer. Stop hearing those words, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And I knew that that call in my heart, which had perhaps already existed for maybe a year, would come to an end. And I had to say yes or no and make a decision fairly soon after that, maybe just a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. The moment came, I had to say, Lord, I'll do your will. Or Lord, I can't bring myself to say it because of this one big obstacle. And so with a very heavy heart, I went back to my digs, sorrowful and feeling, knowing that I'd made the wrong decision, but that I couldn't bring myself to make the other decision the right one. It was another 5 years or so before God repeated that call. And during those 5 years, of course, he never stopped loving me because he loves his children. He never stopped shaping me and teaching me and bringing me into contact with people who did me good in my spiritual life. But he took away all sense of direction, and I had no idea what to do with my life because the will of God had been said no to. And I drifted with no sense of direction for those 5 years. And then God repeated the call, and in due time, I became a Baptist minister. As you know, after some years, I worked, instead of being in pastoral ministry, for the Albanian Evangelical Mission. Now, if you look in the Bible, you will see quite a lot of verses which exhort us not to offer God an alternative when he calls us. Now, the thing is, I never stopped wanting to serve God. I always wanted to serve God. But I had said to him, but Lord, I'm not going to do it in the way you want. I'll serve you, but I won't do that. If you know what God wants of you, and he pressurizes you by his spirit for quite a while, and eventually you decide not to do it, there's another way of looking at that. And that is to say that God will give you what you want. He will let you have it. But in the end, it won't do any good. One thing C.S. Lewis said was there are only two kinds of person in this world, in the final analysis. There are those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And there are those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." Eventually, he will let you have what you insist on having. I mentioned Psalm 81, verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me. I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. As I say, God doesn't stop loving his children. But when we insist on going our own way, if he lets us have it, it can lead to a sense of disorientation. It can spoil the work and the service that he would have done. And it can bring unhappiness into our lives. In that time of disorientation, I made mistakes. And those mistakes naturally bore fruit. Not good fruit, but bad fruit, for some years to follow, more than the 5 years until God renewed his call. And it could be, I say this without knowing any of you personally, it could be that there is somebody here who wants to serve God and wants to walk with God and wants to be a good Christian, but there is one thing that you insist on having that God doesn't want you to have. You won't give up that insistence. What I'm saying is, if God is speaking to you and you know what he wants you to do, maybe to start doing something that he's calling you to do, maybe to stop doing something good that you've been doing and now he wants to redirect you, or something bad that you've been doing that he wants you to give up. If you know that God is speaking to you, and if that call is pressing down on your heart over a period of time, if you say no to God long enough, there will come a time when instead of you saying to him, "Thy will be done," he will say it to you. And he will let you have your way. But it will spoil the work God is calling you into, and it will spoil the fullness of joy that you could have in walking in happy and humble obedience with our Lord Jesus Christ. God won't stop loving you. He won't give you up and send you to hell because you were disobedient. But it won't be as good and as blessed as it could have been. There is a verse in Job which says, "Agree with God and be at peace." Amen.